Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Glad you could be with us here at Thomas Village Baptist Church in Duffield, Virginia. And welcome to our Facebook crowd and those who are out in the parking lot listening to 88.1 FM radios. And we're just so glad you're here today to worship with us. And we're going to start our service off this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, with number 329, which is Grace Greater Than Our Sin. 329.
Good evening to everyone that's listening by radio or watching by Facebook. Those of you that are in-house with us, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your worship tonight. We will be in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to end out in prayer, so we'll wait to do our prayer request at the end. And I'm hoping that God leads some of you to maybe pray verbally tonight. It just seems to be, as you turn into 2 Chronicles 6, there seems to be a weight on our country right now, a heaviness. I'll be honest with you, I did not watch the presidential swearing in or anything like that. I've just made up my mind that I'm going to keep my head down, I'm going to plow, and I'm going to bloom where I'm planted for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let him take care of all the rest of it, and I'm going to seek peace in his name. And so I pray that that's what you're doing. But if you don't remember anything about tonight's service, if you just remember three things, really one thing, Nobody loves you like Jesus, and because nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things tonight. But we're going to do this study, and then we'll have a time of prayer, a time of prayer request. And then I'll probably ask Brother Paul to start us out in prayer. And then if anybody else feels led about the specific needs in our country, specific needs in our county, specific needs of our church, whatever it might be, just bring it to the Lord tonight. Because, again, all we have is prayer right now. But the one whom we pray to, our Jesus, is greater than anything that we see around us, anything that's going on around us. So do we have any word of praise or testimony as you're turning over to 2 Chronicles 6? I do want to give God the praise. This week we've passed over 1,000 followers on our Facebook page, Thomas Village Baptist Church. So that is awesome. That means that 1,000 people will admit that they had let us have part in their worship and their spiritual understanding. Isn't that pretty awesome, though? That's amazing. And we're probably going as far as anywhere we could. Also, I was able to be with Brother Jay and Sister Ruby yesterday, sat with them for about 30 minutes. I kept my mask on, but I was able to see with them, and just good to see them, you know, and then was able to talk to Brother Joe today. And he sounds real good, and then also was able to text with Sister Peggy Stanley this week. So just trying to be in touch and in contact with people. And, you know, we can see the end of the road on this thing. We're getting there. But I'm just going to ask you, if you would, to remain seated. There's a lot of reading tonight now. And what we've got to be reminded of in this prayer is that it's going to be different because, one, it's the king praying, and, two, it's just a different time. And things, it's going to sound different. But remember, it may not be the specific of what he's praying for, but the logic behind what he's praying that we need to tap into. Just like we had to cross the bridge on Sunday, going from the spirit, going from the physical, the old covenant, into the spiritual, into the new covenant. We're going to try to, the more we understand about the historic context of this situation, the better we'll be able to understand the command in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Amen. The more we understand the context of what was going on then, the better it is to apply that precept or that truth behind that, because the same God that spoke that in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's the same God we pray to and we worship and we serve today. Amen. And so let's read this. It's going to be out of the King James. And so just remain seated, and we're going to begin in verse 18 of chapter 6, and we'll read to the end, all right? So bear with my stammering and my lack of reading skills as well. 2 Chronicles 6, beginning in verse 18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Now remember, this is at the dedication of the temple, and this is Solomon's prayer. He's went up, and it's neat because Solomon is almost acting like a high priest in this situation, because he goes up to where the brazen altar is outside, you know, and he goes up there. And remember, Saul got in trouble for acting in the role of the high priest. He was actually called out, but here we see Solomon acting in that role, and then we see the fire of God fall. Remember, we see the altar is consumed, but not only the altar, and not just the offering, but the whole temple, it seemed like, was covered in the fire. So here in verse 18, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. Thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon this place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldst put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servants and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar into his house, then hear thou from heavens, and do and judge thy servants by requiting the sin, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by giving the righteous, by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplications before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest them and to their fathers. Verse 26, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel. When thou hast taught them the good way therein, they should walk, and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, and if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if there be enemies, besiege them in the cities of their land, wheresoever sore be, whatsoever sickness there be. Then what prayer or supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, whenever one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Verse 31, that thou may fear thee, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so as they live in the land which thou gavest our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from afar, come from a far country for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if thou come and pray in this house, then hear thou in the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies in the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and thy house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive into a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, and we have done amiss, and we have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with their whole heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried themselves captives, and pray toward the land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heavens, from thy dwelling place, their prayers and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and thy ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of thy servant David. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. That's a lot of reading. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a good day to be your child. It's a good day to say that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have written my name in your book. And Lord, that I am not of this world, but I am a citizen of a kingdom, not built by human hands, but built by my Creator, built by my Redeemer. And Lord, I thank you for that hope. But God, I also ask you to forgive me of my sins tonight as we do think of our nation. I do thank you for America. I thank you for democracy. I thank you for our democratic republic that we're able to cast our votes and we're able to every 4 years maybe see a change, peaceful change from one party to another. Lord, we know that there's so much tension in our country right now, Lord, and there's a darkness over our country now. But Lord, we still believe that America is that country that you've called us to be, that's set upon a hill. And we believe, God, that tonight you want to turn us back to Jesus, that we will once again be able to say, one nation under God. But Lord, it begins in the house of God. It begins with me. And so, Lord, let me not be willing to expect others to change or to admit their flaws. But God, show me where I need to change. Let me be willing to deal with my flaws in your presence. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Now, as you can tell, he's praying from a leader's position. He's praying for the nation of Israel. And so we're going to look at it. We're not going to go in deep. You break it down, there's probably about six or seven sections in this prayer. And so we're going to look at it. But what I want us to do is we'll be able to better understand. But if you remember Sunday morning, we began to study the familiar passage. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now the Christian Standard puts it like this, and my people who bear my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. Not much difference, but I do love that part in the where it says, if my people, and where it says, who are called by my name, I just like the way we can relate where it says, if my people who bear my name. And you know, in the Old Testament, that was Israel. We recognize that, but you remember today, those who bear his name are you and I, Christian. Acts chapter 11, verse 20, it was in Antioch where they were first given the name Christian, meaning that they were Christ-like or bore the image of Christ or that they had been with Christ. We bear his name today. So see, we're not making a big theological jump here. We're just showing that in the Old Testament, there was the physicalness of the Old Testament covenant, and now we have that in the spiritual covenant of Jesus Christ. We looked at all that David and Solomon went through to be able to build the temple. And remember, David, I wanted to, but he had bloody hands. And you remember, there was no price too high, there was no luxury too great to be put into the temple. And then we see that the temple's been built. And remember, it was to be a symbol that the nation of Israel was different, that their God was greater than all other gods, that they had been set apart. And remember, all the gold on the pomegranates and on the brazen altar, but then also the stone that it was made out of. Once it was clean and washed, it would shine when the sun would hit it. And you could see it from a long ways off. And so they built this temple, and they're getting ready. And this nation who's been set apart by God is now building the God that they've set apart a place to dwell. And listen, and it says what happens then, remember in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 7, it says at the end of this prayer that we've just read, it says that fire descended from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests were not able to enter into the Lord's temple because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And all the Israelites bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and praised the Lord, for he is good, for his faithful love endures forever. And then it talked about the 22,000 cows, I think it was, and 120,000 sheep that they sacrificed, if you remember. And we talked about how in the Old Testament, the presence of God in the Old Covenant, the presence of God was often seen in the image of fire. Remember, there was the pillar of fire by night over when they came out of the nation of Egypt. And then there's also in the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 15 when God made the covenant with Abraham and he had to lay out the sacrifice, and it was by smoke and by fire, a torch, a fiery torch went through it. Then there's the burning bush. And also when the fire fell from heaven, when Elijah was there before the prophets of Baal. All of that we see the fire of God. And we talked about how our God, over in the book of Hebrews, we are told that our God is a consuming fire. And it was a quote back to Deuteronomy. And that word consuming means that it overtakes or it absorbs all that it comes around. And see, we see in the New Testament, just like the presence of God was seen by fire, here in the New Testament, especially in the time of signs and wonders, the evidence or the picture of fire is seen again by the presence of God. John said over in Luke 3:16, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who more powerful than I, and who I am not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what? Fire. With fire. What is it? He meaning that he's going to baptize you with the presence of God. The presence of God will be there. Then we see on the Pentecost, I'm not going to read it, but over there in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 and following, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit once again in the picture of the cloven fiery tongues. Then also we studied about the 10 virgins. 1 to 5 had no oil, meaning they had no fire. And then the other 5 had the oil, so they were able to burn or they were able to have the fire. See, we today have the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You see, when Solomon was praying this prayer, he was praying that the presence of God, the fire of God that we're going to see fall, he was praying that it fill that physical temple. Praise God, today we don't have to go to a physical temple, but this is the temple of God, and his fire has been breathed into us on the day of our salvation. The Holy Spirit moved in there. And you remember the thought Sunday morning was, before you can return, you have to first have turned. And that there's a lot of people, a lot of religion that needs to be traded in for relationship, a lot of ritual that needs to let go for repentance. A lot of people today know just enough to be dangerous, just enough to know the right words. You see, before we can ever turn back, before we can ever know again the power. I don't know if we should be praying for a revival or should we be praying for an awakening. You know, revival is a refreshing of what's there. But praise God, I think in America we need an awakening. That this Jesus, but praise God, you see the hope that we do have, that we just went over 1,000. I mean, think about that. We're getting the gospel out there, and that's all that it's our job to do. But look here, as we think about the praying, if my people who bear my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face. We look at our country today, and you can almost give up hope. But do you remember a few weeks ago, God's got me on this prayer kick. We've looked at a lot of prayers, haven't we? We looked at the Lord's Prayer. We looked at his prayer in the garden. Remember, we looked at the parable out of Luke chapter 18 of the persistent widow. Remember the unjust judge? He said, I'm going to do it just so she'll quit bothering me. I'm going to answer her prayer request for myself so that I'll be of benefit. And while we're the picture of the widow, without power, without strength, without anybody to stand our place, the unjust judge is completely different. We have a heavenly Father who hears us. And you remember, Jesus even said, or the writer in Luke even said, that the purpose of that parable to the apostles was so that you would pray and faint not. Remember, Jesus at the end said that when he comes again, will he find faith on the earth? Meaning that our faith and our prayers coincide together. And our country needs us to be praying. But more than that, our church needs us to be praying and be looking inwardly to ourselves, because we cannot change anyone else. No one else can we change. And this is his house. So we need to be inspecting the house and looking at the house and seeing what the house needs to be cleaned up, starting here. And so I want us to read. I'm just going to break these down and we'll read and we'll look at them. And if you want to say anything about it, go ahead, okay? But let's begin in verses 18 through verse 21. Now, this is out of the Christian Standard tonight, okay? But will God indeed live on earth with humans? Even the highest of heavens cannot contain you, much less this temple that I have built. Now, see, I think right there is sometimes where we miss out on prayer. We forget that the very God of all the universe, whom the heavens cannot contain, whom millions and millions of dollars were spent in gold and in carving and all that to build that altar, that God has chosen to find his place of dwelling in you and I. How awesome is that, that the Creator chooses to dwell within his creation? That should get us excited. That right there should bring us a place to humility and just stand in awe. Why were we chosen instead of Solomon and the others? Why did they have to know God by him living and dwelling in the presence of a physical temple where we today carry him with us? You see how blessed we are and how spoiled we are? Really and truly? Think about the Old Testament prophets. Think about the Old Testament men and women. They would love to have that constant dwelling of the. They would love not to have had to go through the high priest to pray to the Creator. But you see, we've been blessed so much. Look there in verses 19. It says, "Listen to your servant's prayer and his petition, Lord my God, so that you may hear my cry, the prayer that your servant prays before you, so that your eyes watch over this temple day and night, toward the place you said you would put your name." Again, Israel, we have in the new covenant, Christian or under Christ. "So that you may hear the prayer of your servants towards this place. Hear the petitions of your servants and your people Israel, which they pray towards this place. You may hear in your dwelling place in heaven, and you may forgive." Now, there's going to be some repetitive parts of his prayer, such as, "If you will hear in your dwelling place, which is in heaven." You're going to hear that multiple times as we break this down. But also, we see here that they're praying specifically the idea to pray towards Jerusalem and to the temple. Now again, we know that this, there is a promise, and praise God, to the nation of Israel, and Jesus is going to rule and reign from New Jerusalem. He's going to literally sit on the throne of David and Solomon, and he's going to do that. But there's also the promise in this for us as well, that as he's saying that they're praying towards that place. They're praying through the God that dwells in that temple, or who has placed his name on that city. Instead of that, we in the new covenant, we come through the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus said up in this point. "You've not prayed or asked the Father anything through my name." Why not? Because it was the old covenant. You prayed toward the God of that place and all. But we don't pray through saints. We pray through Jesus' name. And so instead of praying towards anywhere, we pray in the name of Jesus. So you see the parallel. You see the physical, and then we see the spiritual, the old covenant and the new covenant. But notice, the key is to whatever happens, wherever they find themselves, it is to pray back to that place, to pray to the God that has placed his name on that. That's for us today. No matter where we're at, no matter what's going on in our life, if the base is Jesus Christ, then we have found true knowledge. We have found true understanding in Christ Jesus. So that's where we pray to. Now, notice in verses 22 and 23, it says, "If a man sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath when he comes to take an oath before the altar in the temple." Now, we know we don't have to sacrifice anything on the altar anymore because the sacrifice has already been placed on the altar. Amen? It's already been. So when instead of praying towards the temple where that altar was at, we pray in the name of Jesus, and we know that Jesus has been accepted. Why? Because he rose again on the third day, just like the fire falling down in acceptance there in chapter 7, verse 1, God's acceptance. Jesus coming up on the third day was proof of God's acceptance over that. And notice, but what he's dealing with here is if a man sins when it comes to his neighbors, to humanity, to one another. If we do each other wrong, if we have hurt one another, if we have broken a vow to one another, and it comes before God, Lord, wherever we're at, if we pray in that place, will you forgive us? See, that's what he's asking. He's asking, if we do this, will you forgive us? Look there in verses 24 and 25. It says, if your people are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they return to you and praise your name, and pray and plead for mercy before you in this temple, may you hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people, Israel. And again, we see the issue of the nation, but we're breaking it down to the personal place, to the individual. Look at this. It says, if we are in a battle, if we find ourselves in a battle or in a fight, and why are we in that fight? Because we made wrong decisions. We did not trust God. We didn't follow God's will. And now it's got us out there and somewhere we're in a battle and we're fighting and we've got an enemy. What does he say that we're to do? We're to recognize that and we're to turn and we're to pray. We're to pray to Jesus' name and we're to just like they were to pray towards the temple and we'd be forgiven. That's what he's asking for right here. Notice in verses 26 and 27. And I kindly looked at this in a spiritual sense right now because it seems like there is a spiritual drought right now. And we have got to get back into the churches. We've got to get to having some revivals. We've got to get to having some tent meetings and some stuff like that going on and getting the flow of the Holy Spirit again amongst us that we can be lifted up and excited. But look right here, it says, when the skies are shut and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. And pray towards this place and praise your name. Now notice that too. Not only is prayer included in this, but praise is as well. And notice where they're finding. They're finding themselves in battles. They're finding themselves with no rain. But what are they supposed to do? They're to praise and pray in the midst of that. Verse 27, may you hear in heaven and forgive the sins of your servants Israel so that you may teach them the good way that they should walk in. May you send rain on your land. See, not only does he forgive their sins, but he blesses them with the sending of rain. Praise God. Who knows what God wants to do through this thing when people are able to get out again and they're going to be able to be going places and they hear the gospel once again afresh and anew. Who knows what God's going to do with that? We need to be looking towards that now, how that we're going to be able to spread the gospel more and more and in different ways. Notice there in verses 28 through 31. Here there is famine in the land. And you know what? We have been truly blessed. I was watching this movie the other day on World War I. And we have forgotten so greatly how devastating and evil war is. You know what I mean? It's we've got a generation that's not seen it. I've not seen it very much. Really, the last time would have been back in Vietnam. You know, we've lost the perspective on how ugly it is. But also, when's the last time we've had to depend upon rain to bring us our food? You see what we've lost by moving from the farm? You see what we lost? And you know what? That day's coming again. There's going to be a day where we will pray that God send the rain for the produce. Notice it says, when there's famine in the land, and there's pestilence, and there's blight, and there's mildew, there's locusts, there's grasshoppers. When the enemies are besieging the land and the cities, but look, the enemies are plagues and illnesses. Sound familiar? Verse 29, every prayer and every petition, any people or your people Israel. But listen, I'm going to take out that your people Israel. Remember, we know it's for Israel, but listen to what's being said. Let's just take that out. Listen, it says, every prayer and every petition any people may have, see there? They each know their own affliction and their suffering as they spread their hands toward the temple. Now again, we know the direct one, but what about us? Nobody knows our sufferings. Nobody knows the difficulties and the battles that rage in our head. Nobody knows that but who? Jesus. It says he suffered. And look what it says. It says, as they raise their hands to where? To the temple. And you know what? When you're hurting and you're in those battles, you can close your eyes, you can raise your hands, and you can go into the presence of God and say, I am hurting, I'm in the midst of pestilence, but I want to tell you, you are good. You can praise him there. Hey, the Wailing Wall today, they still go there and pray at the temple. They stick their prayers in it. They pray in that direction. And you notice, like with Muslims and others, they pray in that direction. They pray towards that specific direction. But listen, in verse 30, it says, "May you hear in heaven and your dwelling place." Remember that phrase? "May you forgive and give everyone according to their own ways, since you know each heart, so they may fear you and walk in all your ways in the land that you have given to their ancestors." And if we really wanted to go back, as we think about the land of the ancestors, we could go all the way back to Adam and how he has given us basically control of the earth as we represent God. And see, we're praying that He bless us and He hear our prayers in the midst of these situations. And then in verses 32 and 33, notice here it says, "Even for the foreign who is not of..." These are those that's not Israelites. See, God was always an evangelistic God. He just was using the nation of Israel, but anybody that would come to worship the true God, He was willing to accept. Same is true today. We've been called out as Christians, but whosoever is the message that we preach. Notice he says, "Even for the foreign, because your name is great, and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes to pray toward the temple. May you hear in heaven your dwelling place and do all that the foreigner asks, that the people of the earth will know your name, to fear you as your people Israel do." See, you can see that right there. What is that? It's the Old Testament version of the Great Commission, ain't it? "So that the world may know." It's the Old Testament. That's what the Israelites have. We Christians have the Great Commission. So you see the parallel, though? Isn't it awesome how it lines up, how the old and the new work so great together? He says, when you go in verses 34 and 35, notice he says, when you people go out to fight against their enemies, wherever you send them. Look in verses 36. "And when they have sinned against you, for there is none who does not sin, and you are angry with them, and you hand them over to the enemy, and their captors..." Basically, what you'll see is this, is that basically they're carried away. They're carried out of their land, it says, whether it be nations far or nations near. But they're carried away from Jerusalem. They're carried away from Israel. But it says, look right here. Let me see if I can find it. Look in verse 37. "When they come to their senses in the land where they are deported and repent and petition you." Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Over the past 10 months, I have literally, especially when I got my spray gun or the church's spray gun, the fogger, I asked, are we on earth anymore? It's like a foreign world. Some of the things that are going on now, and I hate to think it, but what we see in the ordination today and the moving on to the next president, I think we're going to see more of something that makes us say, this sure don't look like Kansas no more. It's going to be getting strange to us, but we've got to come to our senses that it's not Washington, it's not anything, it's us. We've lost our fire, and we've got to deal with us. Notice in verse 40, he says, "Now, my God, please let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to this place. Now, therefore, arise, my God, come to your rest." And what he's saying is this: come, take your rightful place. This, I built this place for you, and I want you to feel it. Now, folks, we're going to get to the part Sunday where it says, "If my people who are called by my name." The one thing that's been consistent in this prayer is, God, when we figure out this is human nature, how many times has Israel already wandered away from God? And we go to say, and they're yet to come back even today. But see, the common thing is that wherever we're at, when we recognize that we're not where we need to be at with God, that we've broken His rules, that we've sinned against Him, that we've went the wrong way, whether we be in our own country, whether we be in a foreign country, whether it be a time of peace or whether it be a time of war, what do? We know where to go. In the Old Testament, it was turn to Israel. Turn to Jerusalem. Turn to the temple. In the New Testament, it is turn to Jesus. And you see now, I'm going to stop right there, because what we're going to see is Jesus, God is going to answer this, and he's going to say, if my people who bear my name, if they do these things. But you see, before we can do that, we've got to come to our senses. The other time phrase that's kind of used is over there, and when the boy is in the pigsty, and it's the prodigal. And it says, when he came to his senses, he thought, how many of the servants in my father's house have it better than this? You see, there was a point in time when he had to recognize where he was at. And folks, if America has any hope, it's us recognizing our sinfulness. I've been getting these, and some of you may see them, but they're daily quotes by Charles Spurgeon. And today's was, no matter the thousand sins, Jesus still loves me infinitively. But the other day it was, if someone doesn't like you, take whatever it is they don't like about you and recognize that you're 1,000 times worse than that. Whatever the people don't like about you, when we compare ourselves to Christ Jesus, we're even worse than that, aren't we? But Jesus, so that helped keep you humble, won't it? And we've got to recognize where we're at. Are we truly excited about Jesus? All right, I want to go through these prayer needs, and then we'll, Brother Paul, if you would come and you'll close us out. Those prayer needs tonight, we have the lost. We had a good prayer session yesterday. If you're available on Wednesdays at 11, come. And we sometimes meet up here, sometimes we meet in the office, but we are mask sensitive as well. I'm not saying you got to wear it, but if you do, we'll share with you, okay? We want to remember all those that are dealing with COVID, whether it be the shot or whether they're on the front lines, all those different things. We want to pray for marriages. We want to pray for the depressed. Pray for Amy's grandmother. She looks like she might have to have a blood transfusion. Her vitamins and her blood is down. But I think some of it is just this stay inside 24/7, not get out and get your vitamin D and all that stuff. I think it affects us, being separated from one another. We want to pray for Mia Korn. We want to pray for Tim Vonador, Danny Smith, Ethan Bowen, Thomas Graham, Paul Stoyer, Stanley Bledsoe, Susie Hill, Dustin and Cynthia Pearson and their baby, Carol Carter, Emily Ward, Alicia Hill, Wendy Fields, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie Barnett, Sister Catherine, Sister Pansy. Tomorrow is her surgery, I'm pretty sure, right, brother? 7 in the morning? All right, so be praying. Third time, this is it, amen? No more in Jesus' name, for his glory. We want to pray for Bobby Lee, Jesse, Miss Henrietta, Bradley Bowen, Bill Eads, Kayla Steele, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Sean and Don Garrity, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Barb Cope, Darlene Porter, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Jesse Bull and Pam Shavarsky, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Tom Graham, Betty Gilbreth, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Schneidgris, Cecilia Pennington, Sheila Stanley, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby, Cindy Osborne, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Lottie Johnson, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Chet and Margaret Wheeler, Liza Fletcher, Miss Wilma Jean, Miss Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, the Field Fire and Rescues, and all those that are first responders, and then our America, our country. We are in need of God's hand. We're in need of a revival. We need the salt to be the salt again. And we're seeing more and more. I hope that the study we're seeing is that the same promises that God made to the nation of Israel, we have those to personal. That God, our country, if we seek God, he'll bring our home back. He'll bring our country back, but we have to diligently seek him. And we may not get to see it, just like some of the Old Testament prophets didn't get to see or haven't experienced what we've experienced. But is there any other prayer needs tonight? Hello, Sister Julie. All right, Brother Paul, would you come and close us out in prayer? Don't forget about the Awana, and also looking forward to the drive-through passion play or Easter event. You still good for Friday, brother?
Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this evening, we do acknowledge you're our God, you're our Savior, you're our Lord, our Master. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. We thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, we praise you for leaving your word for us. What would we do without it, God? Thank you that you've given it to us. Help us to study, to apply ourselves to your word. Thank you most of all for Jesus, who came and willingly sacrificed himself on the cross at Calvary and wonderfully, majestically arose on that third day, completing the plan of salvation, making salvation available to mankind. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. You've been so good to us. And Lord, we acknowledge that as a nation, we've failed you miserably. And Father, we deserve your judgment. We've strayed, we've sinned. We've denied you. And Lord, we're due what judgment we're getting. I pray, Lord, you continue to watch over and care for your remnant. Bring us through these trials and tribulations. Father, we pray now for politics of the world in our country as well. We understand, Father, you tell us in Daniel 2 and 21 that you raise up kings and you bring down kings because you're sovereign and you can do that, Father. And you've done what you wanted done. So, Lord, may your will continue to go forward. Yes. Father, I pray tonight a special prayer for those that we've got several caregivers, Lord, in our church now that are watching their loved ones. They're sacrificing their time and their strength to take care of their family. I ask for your blessings upon them, Lord. Give them the strength they need, the encouragement to keep going on, to serving as they are. Bless them as only you can, Father. Now, Father, I thank you for those that are here tonight. Thank you for our visitor. We pray, Lord, that she would come back and just be a regular with us, Lord, if it be your will. Lord, again, we just thank you and praise you for all your blessings now. Pray for all the names that have been mentioned here tonight, Father. You know the need. You know the circumstance. You know each and every situation. Father, you're a mighty God. There's nothing and no one like you. And we praise you for what you've done and what you're already going to do, Lord. So may your will be done in this place. Help us to ever live a life that will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' holy and wonderful and precious name I ask. Amen.